Good morning. It's Richard Land, and you're listening to The Spar, where we seek to accelerate the growth of business champions. Today, we're going to continue our discussion on the importance of being set for success in your business with Brian Sharfstein, president of Canadian Footwear. But before we get started, and I welcome our guest, I have a little question for you. What do New Balance, Dunham, Red Wing, and Erivan have in common? The first person to send me an email at richard@braveworld.ca will receive a free copy of my new book, From Strategic Plan to Actual Roadmap, The Spar, a winning combination to help you set and achieve your business goals. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Brian, I've had the pleasure of getting to know you a little bit over the last few weeks. I think you're away on holidays and that, but emails back and forth. And one of the things I always love to do is I always Google my guests and check out a bit about them. And so an incredible amount of information comes up about you on the internet.
No hiding.
No hiding anywhere. I think I was actually talking to somebody recently that you should actually be careful what you put up there because it always is there.
I know that.
Yeah. So, Brian, really for our listeners, I know you're president of Canadian Footwear. Tell us a little bit about yourself and just basically where you come from and your life here in the big city.
Well, I'll start by saying I love Winnipeg.
Okay.
And I've been in business here for, I'm in my 46th year of being in business
46
here.
years
of being in business here. And I probably am more passionate about Winnipeg, certainly about the people here than I've ever been before. I grew up in Winnipeg, and I was a bit of a late starter.
Okay.
I don't consider myself, and never considered myself to be an academic. I went to school to study feet and pedorthics. I started school when I was 40.
You started school when you were 40?
When I was 40 is when I actually started my education. I did start in business when I was 17, and
okay.
I was on my own, and of course, was in the footwear business, but not the Canadian footwear as we know it today.
As you know today.
And I did leave the industry for a while. I was in real estate, but I came back and bought the family business with my partner, Pam. And we've been enjoying working together for over 30 years.
Okay.
As partners, going to work, I would say, almost 7 days a week together. And we still are passionate not only about our business, but our life together. So,
Sorry, is Pam?
Pam is my wife.
Your wife, yeah. So I was wondering, I could have asked, is she your sister? Or I mean, right? Because people
I refer to Pam as my wife, my girlfriend, my partner. We are just best friends that have been together for many years.
A long time. Now, you talk about your family here in Winnipeg. Do you guys have any kids?
We do. We have one daughter who's an investment advisor, married with, we've got a grandson just the last 7-8 months. They live in Toronto. And we have a 23-year-old daughter who is living in Winnipeg, who's part of our business, finished her schooling last year, got her BA, and has now joined the company full-time and is working in a variety of capacities.
That's great. Now, tell us a little bit about, your organization overall. I mean, you've established yourself as a Manitoba, Winnipeg-based business. The company's called Canadian Footwear. What are you guys all about?
Well, our family bought Canadian Footwear in the 30s, and in the 30s it was called Patrick's Limited. In the 50s, the name was changed to Canadian Footwear. The company historically was what known as a wholesale jobber supplying stores. When Pam and I decided to buy the company, which was in the early 80s, there were 6 employees, including ourselves. The year we bought it, interest rates were at 17.5%.
I remember those days.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
We bought the company, and we completely reorganized the company, and we've worked very hard on it. And today we have approximately 100 people working for us full and part-time in Winnipeg. We have 3 physical locations in Winnipeg. We have 2 in Calgary, and we have a very active e-commerce business as well as a whole medical division.
Okay, that's actually quite the growth. Because going from 6 people to 100 people over what time period was that?
We're talking a number of years.
Yeah. You know, that's a significant amount of growth and development within any business itself. I was actually reading some information on you, and I want to dip into your memory well a little bit. And I think it was around the whole idea of taking over the family enterprise. And I think I was reading something that said, buying the company from the estate, because I think that's what you did, wasn't the hard thing. The hard thing was finding the right direction of the future success was daunting. And that's a quote. I wonder if you might be able to expand on that a little bit. Boy, I'm really dipping in there. And
and that's good. It's interesting because we often refer back to it in our discussions. But during the 80s, it was difficult because the big box phenomena was on its way in.
Just starting, yeah.
And interestingly enough, at that time, enclosed malls were also booming all over the globe.
Okay.
So just the whole nature of the consumer, retail, everything was changing rapidly. And having been in the what I'll call wholesale discount business, we were in the part of retail where in order for us to compete, we had to pick a direction. And that's what was daunting. If we were going to be in the volume discount business, which, in fact, we remember the days where it went from Gamble's to Woolco to Walmart and all the other big boxes coming in. In order for us to go in that direction, we realized quickly that we didn't have deep enough pockets, and we knew just how difficult that kind of business might be. But that's where some of our experience was. The other direction was to take what we called was the high road, which was to focus more on service, on better quality, on just a different nature and a different demographic. And so that's what we've done.
That's what you've done. That's fantastic. We actually share something in common. I grew up in the shoe business also.
Oh, interesting.
So when we come back, maybe we'll talk about that a little bit, and maybe there's some comparisons. I'll tell you a little story. Maybe there's something we can share. This is Richard Land for the SPAR, and we're speaking today to Brian Sharfstein, president of Canadian Footwear. We're going to take a short back. Enjoy the 680 CGOB update. We'll be right back. Hi, it's Richard Land for the SPAR, where we seek to accelerate the growth of business champions, and welcome back to the show. Our guest today is Brian Sharfstein, president, CEO of Canadian Footwear. And just before our break, we were just talking a little bit about something that we have in common. And Brian, I was saying to you, I too grew up in the family shoe business. So I want to share with you a little story on that, because before the break, you were talking about Woolco and Woolworths and Walmart and the big change. And when I was a child, I used to always go with my dad on his business days. I would actually get a day off from school.
Wow.
And he would take me with me to all the wholesalers, and I would play in all these warehouses while he ordered shoes for the store. And I learned a lot about the business that way. The big joke in my family was that I was found in a shoebox.
Oh, interesting.
So I think you were sort of had a little joke on that one, too. Now, you have a family enterprise that you're working on. We were talking a little bit about finding the right direction for the future success of your business, and that being a bit daunting. But from what I can gather, from what I've read up on your history, you've actually niched yourself. Is that an okay word? You specialize, you segment it, your marketplace?
I would say niche and specializing is certainly what we've done.
Okay, so could you speak to that a little bit? Like, in what way have you niched your organization, and what has that meant to your business growth?
Well, what we've done is we've recognized who our customer is, who our audience is, and I guess given my age and the age of the company, we've really looked at the baby boomers and the fact that the niche is being able to, what we use in the term in the industry is sit and fit.
Sit and fit. Okay.
Something that doesn't exist anymore really in the industry.
Okay.
Most people, you walk in and you look at a clerk and they say, what size do you wear? Well, our formula and our niche is that we listen to our customers. Mm. We ask open-ended questions to be able to identify what those needs are. We actually get down and measure people's feet while they're standing and while they're sitting. We watch them walk and we help them determine how to buy. We help people buy their shoes as opposed to selling them. We certainly, through our training process, make sure that we're not just pushing product on people, because having people out there walking with properly fitted shoes and in comfort is really the niche that we fill, and we stay very focused on that.
It's funny you say that. I've actually had that experience in your store, by the way. I have to now admit that I've been a customer or I've been in definitely in your stores. And when you talk about somebody actually watching you walk, that's an interesting experience, because first, I have to admit, as a customer, it's a little uncomfortable, and I probably even giggled a little bit. I thought it was just silly. But then I learned a very valuable lesson about myself and about the way I walk, because they were actually able to tell me I don't know all the formal terminology, but where are my feet tilted?
Right, that's gait analysis.
Gait analysis, right.
And we don't get that formal because in one of my other careers that I have in the teaching that I do, I teach concept. So it's the concept as opposed to the actual detail of watching the way the foot hits the ground. But there's certain common things that we can see.
Okay.
And it's often very subjective, but it's really important for us to be able to have all of our frontline people be comfortable with watching the way people walk, not just your feet, but your whole body.
So
that's pretty helpful.
And I like the fact that from a customer perspective, you're fitting from a sitting position and from a standing position.
Static and dynamic.
Static and dynamic. So static is sitting?
Dynamic, of course, is movement.
Is movement. Okay. Wow. So I'm learning some new things about the business here I never knew before. You mentioned about, just from a niche perspective, the baby boomers. I mean, we know that that's a significant bubble in our population, and you've identified maybe some of the demographics around that. One of the interesting things as I visited your site, I noticed that your selection is broken down even by sort of, demographic structure, male, female, kids, et cetera. Have you done a lot of work around sort of thinking about in terms of how that all fits together, or is it just happens that, you know, their products or?
No, we've done a lot of careful planning, and that's part of our change that we're going through as well, is to help people buy easily. So if you've been looking on our website, what you're seeing is our attempt and hopefully our success at providing the environment and the experience of being able to find what you need, being able to help you make that buy online or to come into the store. In order to do that, we've really had to define exactly who you are and help you, you know, get to where you want to go, whether it's children, women, men, whether you have a problem. We need to be able to bring out through open-ended questions what your needs are.
What the needs are.
Right.
And again, serving the customer needs.
Well, we're trying to create an expectation.
Okay.
We know that people are going to come in. We want to be able to meet or exceed those expectations. So it's our job to make sure that we keep things clear.
Yeah. It sounds to me like even with that, and of course we're talking about specializing and segment your marketplace, that's really what's your differentiator. That's the thing that's making you different in business.
Absolutely. It's all about the We Fit You. It's all about understanding not only fitting your feet, but fitting your lifestyle, fitting your everyday activities.
Yeah.
It's all about We Fit You.
Now, I got something for you here that sounds like you're a bit of a fun guy when it comes to your employees. Okay, so tell me what the Sharpstein Shuffle is.
Oh, the Sharpstein Shuffle. Well, a couple of years ago, my wife, Pam, and I decided that for our holiday party, where we always get in excess of 100 people, that we were going to do a surprise. So we actually have somebody on our staff who is a dance. That's what he does as a profession. And a variety of dances, like the Michael Jackson, right through to a variety of dances. And so we had him come to the house, and we went to his home, and we did a routine called the Sharpstein Shuffle, which is on a YouTube, and we focused on surprising everyone, including our daughter, and we got up in front of this room, and we had a great time.
You did have a great time. You know, and when I looked at that, I assumed there were some of your people in business there and some of your employees, and I just think it's so great that you can do that for your people because it gets them sort of connected to you as the person.
We're very fortunate. Pam and I know that we have been fortunate in creating a community.
Creating a community. You're listening to Richard Land for The Spar. My guest today is Brian Sharpstein of Canadian Footwear, and we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. It's Richard Lannon here, and you're listening to The Spar. And The Spar is all about really strategic planning to actionable roadmap. And basically, if you think about it, Spar is about finding a winning combination for you to set and achieve your business goals. But like most businesses and most challenges, people need to work together, unravel complex issues, make better business decisions, and establish a common direction. I guess that's what sparring is really all about ways and finding ways to become a business champion. When we return, we'll continue our discussion with Brian Sharpstein, president of Canadian Footwear, regarding being a business champion through working in your family business through succession, through basically looking at the things that can make you successful in your business. Now, you can check them out at CanadianFootwear.com. That's CanadianFootwear.com. We'll also do the SPAR 1-2-3 Business Champion Knockout Tips, the things that you must do in your business to be a champion. This is Richard Lannan, and we'll be right back. It's Richard Lannan for the SPAR, where we seek to accelerate the growth of business champions. And we're here with Brian Sharfstein, President and CEO of Canadian Footwear. So, Brian, just before our break, we were talking about a number of different things regarding business. And particularly, we were talking about the importance of niching your business and really starting to understand your customers and then also having some fun with your employees. I know that during the break, you and I had a little dialogue about the people in your organization and how long they've been with your business. Tell us a little bit about some of the stories over the many, many years that you've had in your organization.
Well, in my 46 years, I've seen numerous, maybe four or five marriages, acquisitions of home, travel, what I will call grandchildren, even though they're not my own children.
Yeah.
But certainly we have seen generational changes, and that continues. Last year we had a young lady who retired after 46 years with us.
Wow.
This year we're celebrating a gentleman who's with us. He's 91 years old. People still come and want him to take care of them. People come and stay with us an average of 7 to 10 years.
Okay.
We have a lot of students that, when they're done, have chosen to stay with us, but a long history of people who really enjoy what we consider to be our family and our community that we've built around Canadian Footwear. We feel very fortunate, and we feel a big responsibility with this large family.
Now, one of the things that you and I share is also the whole concept of three C's. Okay, and your three C's are, we're going to share our three C's because they're a little different, but your three C's are?
Community, communication, and commitment.
Your three C's are community, communication, commitment. So my three C's are company, customer, and community. So we have some overlap in that respect and everything. Why are those three C's so important to you?
Well, because I think connecting is something that people don't do often. We meet a lot of people out there. And to actually connect and say, I can carry on a relationship or develop some kind of relationship, that doesn't happen often.
Yes.
As we've gone through life, you know, often I'll say, I don't need more friends. I'm not looking to develop new relationships. But when you make a connection, so that's very important as our first C, is to connect. And so we really teach that. When it comes to community, again, I mean, I love Winnipeg and I'm really committed to our community, but unless you're going to commit to the community, I guess in business, we can't assume that people are going to come through our door or do business with us. And I really feel fortunate that community does support us. And I think we have a commitment up front to support our community. It's a two-way street.
Sure.
So community is very important. And commitment, when we make that commitment to do what we're doing, follow through, and that's what we're known for. If I say I'm going to do something, I better do it.
Okay.
That is commitment. And so certainly I think from a consumer standpoint, they want to see commitment. They want to hear about community, and certainly they want to connect with us in our business.
In your business, yeah. And I think just having those three C's and being able to connect that and being able to communicate that in such a clear way, I mean, that really helps in terms of making sure things happen.
Yes, and I really found these three C's when I chaired the Chamber of Commerce last year.
Yes.
These were the important things for me in the business community, was those three C's.
At that point in time. Now, the retail industry is changing. I mean, we were talking a little bit earlier about some of the changes from the 1980s and the double-digit interest rates and double-digit inflation, but now we're into, you know, a whole new century and everything. It's 2014, and what's actually happening in the retail industry today?
Well, a couple of things that I think are really, really important for people to understand. When in the past, if we did what we would call long-term or short-term strategic planning, long-term could be 5 to 10 years. Short-term might be 6 months to a year. Today, long-term is 3 years.
Yeah.
Today, short-term is what's happening next week.
Yeah.
And it's not about where we're going in retail. It's not where we're going in business. It's about adapting to change. Things are changing rapidly, and things will continue to change more rapidly. So our ability to adapt to change is really, I'm going to say, the secret to understanding business. Can you adapt to the change? Are you ready to turn on that dime tomorrow?
Yeah, and that's that adaptability. I'm seeing more and more in the dialogue, innovation, adaptability in the dialogue with a lot of organizations that I've worked with, and very strong. I find it interesting that you mentioned about planning 5 to 10 years or 3 to 5 years, which is really now about 3 years. And I've experienced the same thing in the boardroom where I'll sometimes be working with a group and they'll say, well, we want a 5-year plan, but they can't think past 3. And that's really tough. And sometimes 6 months out is a real challenge for them, too.
It's very difficult. And for us, we're looking at the playing field. We look at it as a bit of a game, and we need to know that if we're going to be in our industry or any, if we're going to get on that field and play the game, do we have the right tools? Are we wearing the right uniforms? Do we have the right resources? And do we understand that not only the game is played different, but the game and the rules are changing all the time?
Now, there are some other challenges, too, that I'd like to touch on. And basically, I guess it's around technology itself. I mean, we all, you know, we speak about the Internet and everything. What kind of challenges is the Internet posing for your organization?
The problem is that when people leave their home and they go out to buy footwear or any commodity today, by the time they leave their home, they know what they want. Yeah. They know what's out there. They know the price, and they have a pretty good idea what they're going to get when they get to that store, if they're going to a store.
If they're going to a store. Because the other option is they don't have to physically go to a store anymore.
They don't, but certainly with footwear, people still want to feel.
Yes.
People still want to try them on.
Try them on and everything. Well, if you're anything like me, I'm a thinker. Like, I'm a customer thinker. I like to go, touch, feel, try it on, and then think about it, and then buy it later, right? So, I mean, there's all sorts of different types of customers that you gotta deal with and everything. I noticed that we were all talking about the importance of success and connecting in the public. Is there anything additional that you can add to that in terms of how that is a challenge for your organization?
Well, it's difficult and a challenge for us because people want to feel that they're in an environment, and that environment could be whether it's online or in your store. They want to be entertained. They want to feel that there's some real value, and they want to have an experience. They want to go away and say, that was great.
Yeah.
And that's a challenge because we often can get passionate and excited to create that. But how do you have consistency to make sure that you are always meeting or exceeding expectations?
Yeah, and that's interesting you would say that, because one of the words that's being played around with, it's not a totally true word, but it's edutainment, you know, and in many ways, and even in business and selling today, people want to be educated, but yet they want to be involved and entertained at the same point in time. So that's a real challenge for a lot of people facing organizations.
I totally agree.
You're listening to Richard Land of the Spar, and our guest today is Brian Sharfstein, and we're from the Canadian Footwear, and you can check them out at CanadianFootwear.com. Just stay listening to 680 CJOB for an update. It's Richard Land, and we'll be right back. Hello, it's Richard Land for the Spar, all about seeking and accelerating business champions. It's time now for the Spar 123 business tips, the knockouts, the three things that you must do in your business to be successful. Today, we've been talking about the retail industry, and you know, there's probably a couple of tips that you can have going forward. And here's three tips to help small retail stores gain ground on maybe the big box stores. You know, we've all know that the Main Street mom and pop stores are getting elbowed out of business by big box stores. I mean, that's what some people are actually saying. And the landscape in our businesses just seemingly keep changing and changing and changing. And it is a challenge for the independent entrepreneur, you know, those small retail stores, and you may wonder how you can compete in the industry overall. Well, there is some thinking that yes, you can, you know, and some of the thought these days is that you need to have a strong mobile and social network presence. And there is some research on that by a company called Latitude, and they found that 61% of all shoppers have better opinions of brands when they offer good mobile experience. And 85% of the survey respondents said that being able to shop from their mobile devices makes it more likely that they will actually buy something. Now, those are significant stats, and I think that's been a big change. Heck, I even do it. I have a smartphone, a mobile device, and I look things up. Even last night, I was out for dinner with my spouse, and we were talking about something we wanted to do, and we said, well, let's just look it up. So we looked up the product and everything, and it might be something you want to do. So what are three things that you can do? Well, first of all, maybe become mobile friendly. Now, as a small business owner and retail industry, how do you go about doing that? Well, maybe you create a mobile presence. You know, you start to understand what's called responsive design and mobile site optimization. Now, I'm not a big expert in responsive design or mobile site optimization. But I bet you your ISP, your internet service provider, or marketing online person can explain those things to you. Get social is another thought. You know, start to differentiate yourself and your company and against the big companies by being in touch with your business and your customers. Consider wrapping up a social media presence. And we probably, some of you might have a social media presence. Some of Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Google Plus come to mind. And those are always changing environments. But, you know, you can actually be involved in a few things that actually create a presence. So consider getting social and what that might look like to your business. So use social media to repost articles, inspirational quotes that fit with your company and your culture and the things and the customers that you want to be engaged with and the things that your customers want to be engaged with. Do you want to buy, do you want the big guys, do what the big guys can't is another sort of idea. You know, that's another piece in terms of what you can do. Small businesses, you have, you don't have the same level of corporations in terms of their business rules. And so there's that flexibility, that adaptability, that innovation that can be involved. You can experiment with things like, here's a nice one, dynamic pricing. That's dynamic prices and changes prices based on the market and the customer interest. That's an interesting one. Or how about flexibility pricing, changing prices based on the individual customer preferences? Now, I'm not too sure how all that sets up, but these are strategies that smaller organizations are using today. You can also decide to offer some incentives that go beyond the standard Christmas and Labor Day and Memorial Day type things. Like, how about things like, does a staff member having an anniversary, so then you offer something special to your customers online? Or maybe there's a new baby born into your business operation, maybe a sister or a daughter-in-law, or maybe one of your employees just became a grandparent, so you offer something to your customers. There's all sorts of ways to things that you can do to be a business champion yours. So the three hints here for the smaller business, the retail: be mobile friendly, get social, and do what the big guys can't. Now, Brian, we've been talking a bit about the online presence and that, and I know that this has been a bit of a challenge for you guys too, and maybe you could sort of address some of the things that our listeners might be able to do to help their business grow and be successful in the retail space.
Certainly. I'm going to go backwards on you a little bit here.
Okay.
Because you talked about flexibility as sort of the last important or opportunity. And I think that the things that you're suggesting, like flexibility, really go way back, not just generations, but it is the premise. It's the ABC's rule number one of retail. And that is to be able to listen to your customers. And so even though there is a new terminology and we talk about things like dynamic pricing and flexible pricing, these are things that I think that our parents and our history in retail have taught us. It's just that now we're putting in a more formal setting and really sort of trying to keep up with what the big guys are doing, because I think they use these terms corporately and it really gives us that flexibility to be successful. As far as the social presence, I think that's really important. Again, whoever that demographic is, how we're going to reach them, that's really important. And I think we do that anyways in the community work we do, but I think it's important to link it in today to make sure that those that are using the devices will understand how you're connecting both to the community, and they want to know what's going on inside your business. They want to know about who the people are that they're dealing with. I really believe that a lot of consumers want to deal locally. They want to know about your family. They want to know what's going on in your business. And so I really like the idea of sharing some of the successes and celebrating some of the events and life events that are going on in the business. Certainly being mobile friendly, this is something we don't have a choice of today. It really dictates what most people are doing and, in fact, becomes a challenge to turn your mobile off. But the mobile friendly, I think, is really important, and it's just an easy way to communicate to our both potential customers and our customers. Being mobile friendly is just part of communication today.
Yeah, so I mean that ties it in very nicely, actually, connecting the old with the new. And in many respects, you know, I often think this too. There's nothing new anymore. It's just new words to what we've already know.
Well, and I guess just to touch quickly on that, I did a presentation last month that someone said, It's really important just to let people know how long you've been around, because there's real credibility, and it takes us back to the history.
That's great, Brian. Listen, you're listening to Richard Land for the SPAR, and we're going to take a short break. Listen to the 680 CGOB update. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. It's Richard Land of A Brave World, and listen to the SPAR, where we've been talking to Brian Sharfstein of Canadian Footwear, CanadianFootwear.com, about the importance of accelerating your business and being business champions. Now, Brian, if there was a message, one message that you could actually leave or share with our audience today, our listeners, what would that be?
Support local business.
Support local business?
Support local business. Support domestic business. I know it's often a challenge because of the internet. I know that there are challenges because people are trying to meet budgets and people are trying to save. But support local business. It is our future. And so many people that are trying to become and are becoming entrepreneurs, it's important to support local business.
So what would support local business maybe look like?
It means that you should look at your options, and whether it's whatever it is that you're consuming, whether it's going to the grocery store, whether it's buying your footwear, whether it's buying technology, try to do it locally.
Okay. Okay. This is Richard Lannan. You've been listening to The SPAR, where we seek to accelerate the growth of business champions. Our guest today has been Brian Sharfstein, president of Canadian Footwear and CanadianFootwear.com. We want to take this opportunity for thanking you for